Okay, good morning everybody. Today's daf is Yuma daf Yud Zayin. We are holding on daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph toward the top of the page at Rav Ada Bereid Rav Yitzchak, the second line on the page. Today's year is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children. We thank him so very much for the continued sponsorship of the daf Yomi. So we had asked a stira between two Mishnayis, one Mishnah in Meseches Tamid and the other Mishnah in Meseches Midos, as far as the placement of the Lishchas Hatilaim. So we gave one answer that the Mishnayos are authored by different Tanaim, that a Stam Mishnah Midos is one Tana, a Stam Mishnah in Tamid is a different Tana. So what we're going to start with is a second answer to that question, to that stira between the placement of the Lishchas Hatla'im. And then the Gemara is going to discuss how it is that we identify the different Lishchos in each of the Mishnayos based on the order that we identify them in, meaning are we going right to left or left to right, and why it is that we would ever go left to right. That in general we always turn right. That's always the default in terms of the direction that we go. And then on Amud Beis the Gemara is going to transition to discuss the idea that Kohen Gadol is makriv chelik barosh and notel chelik barosh. What do each of those things mean? And we're going to discuss the Lechem HaPanim. How much of the Lechem HaPanim is the Kohen Gadol allowed to take? There are 12 loaves in total, so is he allowed to take exactly half? Does he have to take less than half? And we're going to have a stira between a particular brisa where the Reisha seems to say one thing, the Mitzias is something else, and the Seifa something else, and we're going to have to try to resolve that stira as far as what the Kohen gets in terms of the Lechem HaPanim. So let's begin Yud Zayin Amud Aleph at the second line of the page, and again we had learned on Tezvav and Beis that there's a stira in between two Mishnayos as far as where the Lishchas Hatla'im was. The Mishnah in the third paragraph of Maseches Tamid told us that it was in the northwestern corner, and the Mishnah Maseches Midos in the first paragraph told us that it was in the southwestern corner. So the Gemara discussed that, each Mishnah must be, the Gemara given the answer that each Mishnah must be following a different Tana, that the authorship of the Mishnayos in Tamid and the Mishnayos in Midos were two different authors. Rav Ada b'Reid Rav Yitzchak Amar, a different answer. Even if it were the same author, or two different authors that just don't argue with each other, Hai Lishcha Aktsuye Mekatsia. No, the Lishcha Satlaim looked like it was on both ends. It didn't stand totally in a corner of the Beis HaMoked. It was a long Lishcha, and it went all across, almost fully, not fully across, but it ran long across the length of the western side of the Beis HaMoked from north to south, but it didn't quite reach either corner. It didn't quite reach the northern corner nor the southern corner. So therefore, Uda'asi Mitzafon, if a person is coming to the Beis HaMoked from the north side, Mischazile Badarom, so he would get the impression that the Lishchas Hatzlaim is in the south because he can't see the southwestern corner. He just sees along the western wall of the Beis HaMoked that removed from the northwestern corner is this Lishchas Hatzlaim, but he doesn't see that it doesn't reach all the way to the south. So he gets the impression that it's further to the south. And to Asi Midarum, and if someone is coming from the south, Mischazile Batzafon, he would get the impression that it's more toward the north. And that way, where Metari, it's the stira between the two Mishnayis, that the Mishnah Maseches Tamid is counting the Lishchas based on the point of view of someone coming from the south, and that's why it mentions the Lishcha as if it was in the northwestern corner, and the Mishnah Maseches Midos is discussing from the point of view of someone who's coming from the north, and therefore mentions it as if it's in the southwestern corner. Now, the Mishnah Maseches Tamid says, "Amar le Mamuna tzuvi veviu tleh milishchas beis hatzlaim," that the Mamuna is instructing the Kohanim to go grab a tleh from the Lishchas beis hatzlaim. So, who's he talking to? He's talking to people who are standing in the Lishchas Hagazis, where they had the pious, where they had the raffle, the lottery, to determine who does what. So the Kohanim were going from the Lishchas Hagazis to the Azara, and through that they were going to the Beis HaMoked, which is on the northern side of the Azara. So the Kohanim, in fact, were coming from the south to the north. So it works out very nicely. It's not just that we happen to be making an Ukimta. If you look at the Mishnayos, that's what it sounds like it's talking about, that the Mishnah Maseches Tamid actually is about people who are coming from the south toward the north. And that's the answer that the Gemara suggests, that really it was neither in the northwestern corner nor in the southwestern corner. It was along the western wall of the Beis Hamoked. It just didn't quite reach to either one, and it really all depended on your point of view. Tosos over here on Amud Beis in Dibra Maskel Vaha quotes a Riva that asks, well, wait a second, shouldn't there be another answer? Why doesn't Gemara just say Pashtus, that the Beis Hamoked itself was in the Beis Hamoked itself, the Lishcha was in the Zavis, was in the southwestern corner, like the Mishnah Maseches Midos says, and nevertheless, since the Beis Hamoked was in the northern part of the Azara, so Mitzad, the Azara, the Lishcha Satlaim, was in the northwestern corner, and maybe that's what the Mishnah meant in Maseches Tamid. One is discussing from within the Beis Hamoked, and one is discussing from the larger picture of the Azara. So Tosfos suggests that you can't say that the Lishcha was in the northwestern corner of the Azara unless the Beis Hamoked was across the full length of the wall of the Azara, and then the Lishcha would be in the western corner of the Azara. But it's not mistaver that the Beis Hamoked was that big. So since it probably wasn't that big, it wouldn't be described in such terms. So that's what Tosfos says, that we don't give that answer that the Riva suggests. Interestingly, though, the Rambam in the Pirush Mishnayos in the first paragraph of Maseches Midos explains the teretz of Rava, the Bereid Rav Yitzchak, exactly like the Riva wanted to suggest. The Gemara should have answered that someone who's ba midaro, meaning someone who's in the Azara, which is to the south of the Beis Hamoked, sees the Lishcha Satlaim B'tzafon in the northwest of the Azara, where someone who's coming B'tzafon, meaning someone who's in the Beis Hamoked, which is north of the Azara, sees the Lishcha Satlaim being in the southwestern part of the Beis Hamoked. So it turns out, according to the Teretz of Rav Avada B'Reid Rav Yitzchak, the Mishnayos and Maseches Tamid and Maseches Midos don't disagree about the placement of the Lishchos, and therefore we don't need to rely on the Teretz that we gave before, that the two Masechtas are taught by two different Tanaim. Tosos, however, on Amud Beis in Dibra Maskel Vaha, says, wait a second, the Gemara didn't just suggest that the Stam Mishnayos in each Masechta were authored by different Tanaim. The Gemara proved it. The Gemara proved that the Stam Mishnah Maseches Midos describes the Mizbeach as being Kulo Badarom, as being totally toward the south. And the Gemara in Zvachim proves that the Stam Mishnah Maseches Tamid understands that the Mizbeach was Be'emtza Azara. So anyway, you have to say Stam Mishnayos and Midos and Stam Mishnayos and Tamid are different people. They have to be, because they describe the Mizbeach in different places. So why would we need to come on to another answer if the first answer is obviously correct, that they obviously are authored by different people? So Tosfos points out, yes, they obviously are authored by different people, but we know in general that there is a machlokas where the Mizbeach is, and therefore it makes sense that that the two different Tanaim are going to argue about where the Mizbeach was. But we don't know for sure that there was a machlokas about where the Lishcha Satlaim was, so if we don't know that, we don't have on record anywhere else that there's a machlokas Tanaim about that, so even if it's authored by two different people, we try not to make machlokas when we don't have to. So if it could be two different people, but they agree as far as the way things looked, as far as the way things were laid out, as far as where the Lishcha Satlaim is, that's all the better if we're able to do that. And that's why the Gemara is suggesting this Teretz, even though we already know that in fact there are two separate authors of the two Masechtas. So now the Gemara adds, it's most mistaver that the Lishcha was a little bit more to the south than it was to the north. Meaning, yes, the Lishcha Satlaim was on the western side of the Beis Hamoked, but and it was neither fully in the northwestern corner nor fully in the southwestern corner, but it probably was a little bit more south than it was north. And even the Tana of Maseches Tamid would agree to that. When he says that the Lishcha was in the northwest, because it's only because he's looking from the point of view of someone who's coming from the south. And when you come from the south, the Lishcha looks a little bit more toward the north. Mimai, how do I know that that's the case? That it was a little more toward the south than it was toward the north? Midraminan lechem apanim, alechem apanim. From the fact fact that we ask a stira, another stira, between the Mishnah and Tamid and the Mishnah Maseches Midos, as far as where the Lishchas Lechem Apanim was. Aside from the stira about where the Lishchas Atlaim is, there's an additional stira. The Mishnah Maseches Tamid goes through the different Lishchas that were in the Beis HaMoked, and it begins with Lishchas Atlaim, which was in the northwestern side, and then it goes to the other Lishchas, and it concludes with the Lishchas Lechem Apanim. So the Gemara is assuming that we're counting the different chambers, the different rooms, like a person would do if he were going turning toward his right. So someone who goes to the northern, to the north of the Lishchen, turns to the right, is going to go toward the west, and from the west to the south, and from the south toward the east. So it turns out that the Lishchas Atlaim is in the northwestern corner. The Lishchas Hachosamos would then be in the southwestern corner. The Lishchas Beis HaMokad would be in the southeastern corner. That would leave the Lishchas Lechem Apanim in the northeastern corner. But the Mishnah Midos says explicitly the Lishchas Lechem Apanim was in the southeastern corner. So it's a stira between the two Mishnayos as far as where the Lishchas Lechem Hapanim is. Umishaninan, and we answer that stira by saying that Amar Rav Huda Ben Yehoshua, Mar Kachashiv Derech Yemin, Omar Kachashiv Derech Smol, that the Tana Maseches Midos is counting the Lishchas Derech Yemin, like a person who's coming and turning toward the right to go around the bayis mibachutz, like it says in the Mishnah that that it counts from the southeastern to the from the south to the east, and from the east to the north, and from the north to the west, and from the west to the south, and therefore after Lishchas Atlaim, which is in the southwest, it goes to the Lechem Apanim, which is going to be in the southeast. But Umar, the Tanim Maseches Tamid, that doesn't explain the exact location of each Lishcha, Kachashiv Derech Smol, counts it out, Derech Smol, like a person who's going toward his left, and therefore it's Metaritz the Stira, as far as where the Lishchas Lechem Apanim actually was. So Tosos raises the question, why does the Gemara have to say that the Mishnah Maseches Tamid is talking about a guy who's turning toward the left? It could have just as easily said that it was talking about someone who's inside the Beis HaMoked, and he's facing toward the Lishchos, and he's turning toward the right, because whatever's to the right from the perspective of someone on the inside is the left of someone from the perspective of the outside. So why wouldn't it have been better to just talk about a guy that's in the middle and say that he's actually going toward the right? So Tosfos suggests that the Mishnah Maseches Tamid is talking about the Mamuna that says to the Kohanim to go to the Beis HaMoked and bring the Tleh for the Karban. Those Kohanim were in the Lishchas Hagazis prior to that. That's what we learned before. So certainly those Kohanim were Michutz LeBeis HaMoked. So if we're talking about people who are Michutz LeBeis HaMoked and we're going through the different rooms by the Beis HaMoked, it must be that we're talking from their perspective of where they were outside of the Beis HaMoked. Tosfos also raises the question, why doesn't the Gemara answer this Stira in the same way that it answered the Stira by the Lishchas Atlaim? That the Lishchas Lechem Apanim was a Ktsuyei Mekatzia, that it was in the middle of the eastern wall, and it wasn't fully to the northeast, nor fully to the southeast. Shouldn't that solve the problem as well? Meaning we already know that these rooms do not have to be totally in a corner, because that's what we said about the Lishchas Atlaim, that it wasn't really in a corner, that it was just a long room along the western wall of the Beis HaMoked. Why can't we say the same thing about the Lishchas Lechem Apanim? So Tosfos gives one teretz, but the Rush in the first parak of Maseches Midos suggests that the Lishchas Lechem Apanim had to have been very small, because it wasn't used for all that much. So it's not mistaver that it would have been such a long Lishchas Atlaim. You have to realize there were animals there, so animals need to move around. Animals are going to need a larger room. But for the Lechem Apanim, what did they need already? It didn't need to be a very big room. So says the Rush, it's not at all mistaver that they would have designated such a large room for the Lishchas Lechem Apanim. So now the Gemara explains this answer of Rav Huna ben Rav Shua. So the Gemara says, I understand very well that the Tanna Maseches Tamid holds that the Lishchas Atlaim was Bima Ravis Dromas Havai, was in the southwestern side, that it was more toward the south than it was toward the north, meaning if the Lishchas Beis Atlaim, yes, it ran along the western wall, but there was another Lishcha that had to fit somewhere along the western wall, because there were four Lishchas. So it couldn't dominate the entire western side, full, all the way from north to south. So it had to be mashuch in one direction or the other, leaving room for another lishcha in the other corner. So I understand very well if you're going to say that it was a little bit more south than it was north, that leaves the northwestern corner for another room. You could fit a room in the northwestern corner. If it was more north than it was south, then another room would have to stick in the southwestern corner. So I understand very well if it was b'maravis dromis that the lishcha that it was more toward the south than it was toward the north, and when it says that it was in the northwestern corner, it's only based on the point of view of someone who's coming to the Beis HaMoked from the south, that it looks like it's more in the north. Now I understand that we can the answer to the stira about the lechem apanim, that in Maseches Tamid we're going through the different rooms from the point of view of a person who's going toward the left, because the Tana of Maseches Tamid first mentions lishchas hatzlaim, then the lishchas hachosamos, then the lishchas beis hamokad, and then the lishchas lechem apanim. And since the lishchas hatzlaim was in the southwestern corner, so when the Tana continues to go toward the left, it turns out the lishchas hachosamos was in the northwestern corner, and then you get to the lishchas beis hamokad, which was in the northeastern corner, then the lishchas lechem apanim, which is in the southeastern corner. So the Tana of Maseches Tamid is moded to the Tana of Maseches Midos that the Lishchas Lechem Apanim is in the southeastern corner, and that's Miyashiv V'stira. But Eli'i Amr Tzvonus Marav Savai. But if you're going to say it was the Lishchas Hatloim was a little more toward the north, that means that the northwestern corner didn't have another room. So even if the Tana of Maseches Tamid would be going toward the left and counting them out, Sof Mai Terutz of the Lechem Apanim, it wouldn't really resolve the issue of the lechem apanim, because then the Tana Maseches Tamid first counts lishchas hatzlaim, which is really the northwest, meaning a little bit more toward the northwest than toward the southwest, and then it would go to the lishchas hachosamos, which is the northeast, and then the lishchas beis hamokad, which is the southeast, and then lishchas lechem apanim, which is in the southwest. And the Mishnah Maseches Midos is explicit that the lishchas lechem apanim was in the southeast, not in the southwest. So it would still be a stira between the Mishnayos, depending on where you're going to place the lishchas hatzlaim. So it must be that there's no stira between the Mishnayos, there's no stira about the lishchas hatzlaim, no stira about the lishchas lechem apanim, because the lishchas hatzlaim was b'maravis dromus. Maravis dromus again means not fully in the southwestern corner, but it means more toward the south of the western side than toward the north of the western side, leaving room for another chamber in the northwestern corner. So the Gemara asks on this teretz of Rav Huna ben Rav Yeshua, wait a second, the whole teretz is based on the idea that we're counting, that the Tana of Maseches Tamid is counting out the rooms going toward the left. But that's not the way we do things. But don't we say later on in the Masechta, and we said earlier in the Masechta as well, Kol pino shataponda lo yu ela derech yamin lemizrach, Rashi points out that the word lemizrach doesn't really belong here. It's just that in Maseches Zvachim, when the Gemara quotes this maimer about a kohen who goes up to the mizbeach on the ramp, which is on the southern side of the mizbeach, and he turns to the right. So turning to the right when you're coming from the south of the mizbeach, turning to the right is going to be lemizrach. So that's why we say lemizrach. But it's not really about mizrach. It's really about yamin. Wherever you happen to be situated, kol pino shataponu lo yehu ela derech yamin. So why is it that the Tana Maseches Tamid is counting toward the left and not toward the right? And it says Gemara, hanimili ba'avoda, aval hacha chushman bi'almahi. No, that's only talking about when we say that you got to go toward the right. That's when you're going for the sake of doing avoda, that you always have to turn right. But over here, as far as just laying out the Beis HaMikdash and telling me where things were, so just to cheshbon out where things were, so it doesn't matter whether we counted Derech Yamin or Derech Smol. The Baal Amor points out, even though we're not going to be makbit to count it Derech Yamin and to list it derech yamin, but why not? Meaning, why would you dafka not list it derech yamin if you're just, if that's the derech avoda and you're listing the different rooms, so shouldn't you list the different rooms in a derech avoda kind of way? Why would you dafka do it the other way? Why would you dafka go derech small? So the Balamar suggests that the Tana first mentions lishkas hatzlayim because that's where they went to bring a tzleh for the karban tamid. And then the Tana says that was in the northwestern side, even though it was a little bit more mashuch to the south, because that's the way it appeared for those who were coming from the south. It looked like it was in the northwestern side. So then the Tana mentions lishkas hachasamos to tell me that was what was really in the northwestern side, meaning since we list the lishkas hatzlayim as being in the northwest, but it didn't really mean it was in the northwest. It was actually closer to the southwest than it was to the northwest. So the next one we want to mention is what was really in the northwest, so that we'll have it straight, so that we can straighten out the picture. So that's why the Balamar says we dafka go in that order. Not because we're trying to go derech small or we're trying to be contrarian or anything like that. It's just that you can get the wrong impression from the way the Tana expresses himself first. So that's why, to correct that mistaken impression, that's why he mentions what was in fact in the northwest next. So that's the expression the Gemara has over here. When it's chush bin amyalma, then we're not worried about kol pina shatpana leil derech yamin. Someone once said, Menashe Klein has a multi-volume series of Shalos and Tshuvas, the Ungvar Rav. So people asked him all sorts of questions. A big poskim asked him questions. And sometimes he got questions from like fifth graders. People would ask anybody. He would write back to anyone who asked the Shaila, he would ask. So I didn't look who, maybe it was an accountant, I didn't look who asked the Shaila, but someone asked, if you have two equations to do, should you do the equation that's on the right side of the page before you do the equation on the left side of the page? Because it's called Pina Shatapana Loyal Derech Yamin. So he says, Chushbin of the Alma, when it's Chushbin of the Alma, when you're just doing Chushbon, then you don't have to worry about Kol Pina Shatapana Loyal Derech Yamin. Okay, so now back to the Kohen Gadol. So we're done with the layout of the Beis HaMikdash for now. So now we go back to the Kohen Gadol. So we said, one of the things we said in the Mishnah is a Kohen Gadol makriv chelik brosh and is notel chelik brosh. That the Kohen Gadol gets to be makriv first and he's also notel first. So what does that mean? So Tan Rabbanan, Ketzad makriv chelik brosh. What does it mean he's makriv chelik brosh? Omer ola zu ani makriv, mincha zu ani makriv. We give two examples, a carbon ola or a carbon mincha. He gets to say, and he gets to choose which carbon he wants to be makriv, and the mishmar that's working that week in the Beis HaMikdash can't stop him. Ketzad notel chelik brosh? What does it mean that he's notel chelik brosh? Omer chatzu ani ochel asham ze ani ochel. He could take a kachem animal and say, I'm going to eat it, even though the people who are makriv it, the kohanim who are makriv it, may have normally have the rights to it, but the kohen gadol can overrule them and say, I'm going to eat it. In the Gvura Sari, the Shagasari explains that that's why the Brisa doesn't say chatas va'asham by makriv chelik brosh like it does by ochel chelik brosh, because if the Brisa would have given the same example of the same karbanos to say that makriv chelik brosh someone's chata, someone's asham, and ochel chelik brosh someone's chata, someone's asham, it would imply that he's only ochel chelik brosh of that which he was makriv chelik brosh. So in order to make it very clear how Rashi explains in Maseches Arias and the other Rishonim explain, to make it very clear that his ochel chelik brosh is even on that which he was not makriv chelik brosh, we give two different sets of karbanos, two different examples of karbanos. The Medrash in Vayikra in the Medrash in Torah's Kohanim darshins the Mishnah the din of this Mishnah from the pasuk Vanosaros min amincha la'aron ulevanav. So three dinim, la'aron first and then levanav, meaning and la'aron shelo b'machlokas ulevanav b'machlokas, and ma'aron kohen gadol ochel shelo b'machlokas af banav kohanim gadolim ochel shelo b'machlokas. So the way the Malbim explains it, that three times it says by the mincha that it should be la'aron Levanav. Those words, that phrase appears three times. One of them to tell me that Aaron comes before the other Kohanim. The second one to tell me that he takes as much as he wants. And the third one to tell me that's true even by other Kohanim Gedolim, not only by Aaron. So we have three different limudim from the Aaron Levanav, and one of them is this exact din that we're learning here right now. The Aruch HaShulchan HaAsid writes that it's a gnai for the Kohen Gadol to be in the same chalukah of the other Kohanim. Tanim, and that's why he's notel chelik perosh, makrav chelik perosh, like the balabais who gets to take whatever he wants. It's his show. He gets to take whatever he wants. He's considered like the balabais over the entire operation in the Beis Hamikdash. So after the Kohen Gadol takes the karban that he has chosen, Chafetz Chaim points out he can then give it to other Kohanim. Chafetz Chaim writes in the Kutei Halachos that he's then allowed to give it to other Kohanim. But he says it could be that that's only if initially he took it to eat it for himself, then he could go give it to others. But maybe to take it originally, just to give it to others, just to distribute to others, maybe he doesn't have that ability of notel chelik perosh, to just redistribute that. Here there's a group of Kohanim, that it's their mishmar, it's their Beis Av, they're the ones that have the rights to the korbanos. But he says, I like the guys from last week or from 2 weeks ago, so he's just going to go take it and give it to whoever he wants. No, he could take it for himself. Once he's taken it for himself, so it's his, so then he could do whatever he wants with it. But he's got to initially take it for himself. The Tosefta writes that by Kotchei HaMikdash, only by Kotchei HaMikdash, the Kohen Gadol is notel chelik perosh. But by Kotchei HaGvul, like by Trumos and Maestros, the Kohen Gadol and the Kohen Hedyot are the same. Kohen Gadol doesn't have any extra rights when it comes to taking Truma, for example, because that has nothing to do with Mikdash. Truma is a din in Eretz Yisrael. Kohen Gadol is the Balabayis in the Mikdash, but he's not the Balabayis. I mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Balabayis in the Mikdash, but the Kohen Gadol is the one that's the CEO of running the Beis HaMikdash. He is not of all of Eretz Yisrael, so he does not get to take the Truma. Kotchei HaMikdash, it's Mishulchan Gavoa, it's not really Tali in the Das HaBailim. So the Torah is Mezaka, the Kohen Gadol, that he gets to take whatever he wants. By Kotchei HaGvul, there's Tovas HaNal LeBailim. The Bailim can give it to whoever they want, so it's not about the Kohen Gadol. So V'notel Chalub Ishtei Chalos, we continue and we say, what other rights does the Kohen Gadol have? He, of the two Lecha, of the Shtei Alechem that we're makriv on the Yom Tov of Shavuos, the Kohen Gadol gets to take one of them, meaning on Shavuos we have this unique karban that aside from the Tmidim Musafim, we bring a mincha from Tvua Chadasha of that year, that we bring two loaves of bread that are chametz, made out of wheat, and we're makriv additional karbanos with them. So that's the Shtei Alechem, the unique karban of Shavuos. That's what the Ramah writes, that's the basis of the Minachigs and Shavuos, that it's a zecher to the Shtei Alechem, because there's a halacha in Yeredeya that the same loaf of bread that you have at a Milachig meal, you're not supposed to have at a Fleishig meal, that you have to have separate loaves of bread for a Milachig meal and a Fleishig meal. So the Ramah says, so the way they engineered a zecher to the Shtei Alechem is to make sure that we have two sets of bread on Shavuos, that you have to have a set of bread for your Milachig meals and a set of bread for your Fleishig meals, because you're not allowed to use the same bread for both meals. So we have a dafka, a Milachig meal and Shavuos. You can't have all the meals milchig. That's not going to work. You have to have a milchig meal on Shavuos and a fleishig meal on Shavuos, so that you'll require two sets of bread. And through that, that's a zecher to the Shtei Alechem, to the Kabbarnas of Shavuos. So when it comes to the Kohen Gadol's rights in the Shtei Alechem, he gets to take a chalam ishtei chalos. He gets to take one of the Shtei Alechem, or arba uchamish meis alechem apanim. Not or, and he gets to take four or five chalos from the lechem apanim. There are 12 lechem apanim, and he gets to take four or five. The Gemara is going to explain very soon, what do you mean, four or five? Is it four or is it five? Well, how much can he take? Rebbe Omer Liolam Chamish, that it's always five, that you can only take five. Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, when it talks about the dividing of the Lechem Apanim, Vayisa La'arun Levanav. So we equate Aaron and Vanav to tell me, Mechza Li'arun, Mechza Levanav, that half of it goes to Aaron and half of it goes to the other Kohanim. So there are 12 Chalos in the Lechem Apanim. However, two of them, we'll soon see, are not in the Cheshbon. Two of them are put aside for something else, and therefore there are really only 10 that are divided between Aaron and Banav. So if he takes exactly 50%, he takes 5 of them. So from Rebbe, it sounds like the Chachamim, the Tanakama, disagree, and they hold that the Kohen Gadol does not quite get 50%, that he gets a little bit less than half of that. The Gemara, we're going to soon see on the Yud Chasam Alav, explains within the Sheet of the Chachamim that he takes 4 or 5 chalas from Lechem Apanim, that he always takes less than half, whatever less than half is. But if all 12 chalas are being divided, he gets 5, because that's less than half. If only 10 chalas are being divided, he gets 4, because that's less than half. The basis of the chum, why should he get less than half, is because it's the Tosos writes that it's not Midas Derech Eretz, that he's going to get the same amount as all of the other Kohanim put together. Meaning, one thing to say that he should get more than any other individual Kohen, but it's not Derech Eretz to have one man that's going to get the same as all of the other Shevet Kuna, the whole rest of the tribe. The Ritva points out, the Chum did disagree on this drasha of Rabbi that it's mechzalar and mechzalavanav, but the mashmos of the pasuk still is that he gets a mana yatha. So for that, pachos michatzi is also good enough to be considered a mana yatha. Tosi Shadim writes that the Chum assume that mechzalar and mechzalavanav is lav dafka, that he gets 50%, that he gets exactly what all of the rest of the Quranim get. It means karav lemechza, all the Rishonim try to work on why the Chum think he can't quite get half. It's not derech eretz, it's not really what mechza means, it means a little bit less than half, it means that he gets a chelek yafa, something along those lines. The Yerushalmi raises the question, from the beginning of the Brit, it says, chatzu ani yochel, asham za ani yochel, sounds like he eats the entire behema. Whereas in the Hemshech of the Brit, it says he doesn't get more than half. Meaning, why dafka when we move to bread, all of a sudden now he's not allowed to get more than half? When we're talking about the animals, he's getting whatever he wants. I'm going to eat this chatos, I'm going to eat this asham. Sounds like he gets to have the whole thing. So the Yerushalmi quotes Rabbi Zeira that there's a chilek between a carbon yachid and a carbon sibur. That by a carbon yachid he could take even the whole thing. But by a carbon sibur he can't have more than half of it. So Ravissa Zalman in the Avnei Ezel and Tamid Musaf in Perek Dalet, Alach Yudalet explains that by carbon sibur the mishmar has a zechus to take a portion of it. And therefore the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to take all of it. Because the mishmar that works that week already has the right to take a portion of that carbon. Okay, so now we're going to take a step back and say, well, wait a second, what did this brisa just tell us about the lechem? Hagufa kasha, the brisa itself is a stira, because amrit no telchala achas mishtei chalos. It starts off by saying he gets 50% of the shtei lechem. One out of two is 50%. So money, Rebbe, that seems to conform to the sheet of Rebbe, who says that he in fact, damar pal gashakel, who says he in fact gets 50%. But ema mitziyasa, but then the brisa goes on to say that arba ochamesh mimaisa lechem apanim, that he gets four or five of the lechem apanim. That's asan the rabbanan darmi lo shakil palga. That seems to be going like the rabbanan that he gets less than half. That the Kohen Gadol does not get to take half, because if it was notel mechza, then he wouldn't. If he was notel half, then it would never be less than five. But then ema seifa. But then the seifa goes on to say Rabbi Yomer liolam chamesh, that he always gets five, which makes it sound like he gets half of the lechem apanim that we're dividing. So which is it? Reisha of the Sefer Rebbe. It sounds like the Reisha and the Sefer of the Brisa are following the sheet of Rebbe that he gets half, and then Mitziyasa, Rabbanan. Then in the middle of the Brisa, we said that he gets four on the lechem apanim, which is not half. It's less than half, and that's going like the Rabbanan. Why would we flip back and forth between the sheet of Rebbe and the sheet of the Rabbanan? So answer number one, says the Gemara, Amar Abaye, we're going to have two answers. There's going to be Abaye, there's going to be Rava. Amar Abaye, Abaye answers, Reisha u'metziyasa Rabbanan. Both the Reisha and the Metziyasa follow the Rabbanan that he gets less than half. Why does the Reisha say that he gets one of the two shtei alechem? Umod Rabbanan biprusa de la varuchara, the Mitzvah of the Kohen Gadol. How else are you going to divide it? What are you going to do? You're going to cut one of the shtei alechems in pieces and give him a piece of one of the shtei alechem? That's not derech eretz. So even though by rights he should really only get less than half, he gets one of the two shtei alechems because it's not derech eretz to give him a prusa, to give him to cut up a piece of the lechem. So Hasemus points out that the way Rashi describes it sounds like that what's the not derech eretz? Not derech eretz to actually break one of the shtei alechems before distributing it to him. But if you look in Tosos and Tosos Dibra Maskel Modu, it sounds more like that even if it was already broken up, it wouldn't be derech eretz to give him a prusa, a broken off piece. That it's not about the act of breaking the piece, it's that you're even giving him a prusa, that's not considered derech eretz. Umay arbo chamesh. Let's try to see if we can get to the mission today because it was a very short tav. So Abaye said that the Brisa that says he gets four or five of the chalos from lechem apanim follows shita the chachamim that the Kohen Gadol does in fact get less than half. So why does it say four or five? So my arba o chamesh, that he gets four or five of the chalos of lechem apanim. When does he get four and when does he get five? So the Gemara answers.